This evening, I want us to turn to the book of Philippians. That's where our main idea for this topic is going to be coming from, Philippians chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 12 through 14. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. And it reads, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let us all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this amazing opportunity to gather here this evening as brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask that you please be with anyone who is visiting with us this evening. We hope that we may all study, we may listen, we may open our hearts, our minds to your word that will be given here this evening. Lord, I ask that you be with those who are mentioned in the announcements, those who are going through difficult times, those who are going through certain ailments. We ask that you please reach your hand down, give them the strength that they need. If it be your will, please bring them back to their much needed health. We ask that you watch over us, Lord. Help us become better for you each and every day. And we hope that we may continue to grow towards you. And we ask all of these things in your Son's most precious and holy dear name. Amen. The main word that I want us to think about tonight is the word metamorphosis. The definition of said word is the process of transformation from an immature form to an adult form in two or more distinct stages. The ultimate example of this, of course, is the butterfly. Its stages are an egg, which is laid on a leaf by the female butterfly, a larva or a caterpillar, the stage in which it continuously eats, sheds, and grows, a pupa, or what's called a chrysalis, when it creates a hard shell-like substance in order to take the time and make that transformation, and lastly, the butterfly. The other day, I had this memory playing over and over again in my head, and it was of our previous preacher, Pat Andrews, and he would give a lesson that I remember hearing over the years from when I was small to when I was a young man, and he would always use the Greek or Latin form of the word metamorphosis, and I can remember it profoundly, because if you knew him, he had a bit of an accent. And so it always stuck with me. He would say metamorpheon or metamorpho. And I remember just it playing and playing over and over in my head. It was kind of like a word that just got stuck. But nonetheless, it got me thinking about change. I'm at a point in my life where things are changing at a rapid pace. I'm not the same little boy who used to run up and down the aisles or who used to bring his toys with him and run them down on the arms of the chair. I'm not the same young man who would bring or who would walk up and down the aisles to pick up the visitor's cards or the member's cards. I have responsibilities now, not only as a husband, as a son, a man, but ultimately I have responsibilities as a Christian. If I'm comparing myself now to then, obviously there's a big difference. And I'm sure that there's other brothers here with us this evening that can feel or may feel the same way about themselves in their own journey of Christianity. The other day, I had the pleasure to teach the teen class, which I enjoy doing because they're a really great group of young ones. And we were discussing the importance of making the step into Christianity. We talked about being a part of the race, which 1 Corinthians 9:24 talks about. The race we all run in, but only one may win the prize. It got me thinking about the crucial part that we should focus on when making that decision? Change. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, we'll be reading verses 8 through 11. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. And it reads, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Change is a hard thing to go through. It's never easy. It's a difficult thing to endeavor. It's really easy to get set in ways that are not beneficial for us over a span of time, things that are not beneficial for us in the end. And these ways that are set become habitual. They can take over our lives that it does not even faze us. All of these things mentioned in these verses are so easily done sometimes. There are times where these feelings and actions can hold so much power over us. It's exceedingly difficult to change our ways, but that doesn't mean that it's impossible. In class, we use the example of someone who possibly has an addiction, whether that be with anything, anything that is harmful to themselves. Someone who's subjecting themselves to that addiction puts it over everything else and chases that feeling that it gives them. But they always end up unsatisfied and wanting more and more. Getting back to our example, let us look at the different stages that are part of the butterfly's life. Firstly, it's an egg. It does not know anything. It exists, but it's just a small egg waiting for its day to hatch. Making the comparison to those who have yet to become Christian, especially anyone among us who has yet to be baptized, or even more specifically, the young people among us who have yet to make that decision. They too are in the stage or state of an egg. They are going to hatch someday. They are going to be exposed to this world. That means in all its beauty and all of its things that may not be so beautiful. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." There is no denying that the world has a lot of things to offer. When we had our youth fellowship a few weeks ago, our speaker, Mike Wazalowski, had said something that resonated within myself. You know, even though it was meant and geared towards the young ones, he still had made a comment that made a lot of sense to me. And he had said to the youth, "The world has a lot to offer. If you want to pursue being an artist, go for it. If you want to be a musician, go ahead." And so on and so forth. Nonetheless, we need to make the decision to become a Christian first. We need to keep in mind that even though we can be whatever we want to in this life, what's most important is that we need to be a Christian first. Because there is a million different things in this world that we can become, an endless amount of things that we can do. And there's nothing wrong with pursuing endeavors or aspirations that we may have in life, but we need to remember not to put anything before God. Once we get sucked into the world, it's extremely difficult to come back. Once it has a grasp of us, it's difficult to kind of make our way back into that path of righteousness, because it will twist our minds. It will make us think that the world is most important, even though in those verses that we just read, the world is not eternal. It's going to pass away. But one thing that does not is the will of God. It abides forever. It's easy to get distracted, and it's easy to lose focus on what is truly important when the world takes us over. But these things in the long run, they're temporary. A momentary lapse of self-gratification. Just as we discussed the example of someone with an addiction, it's just a moment of peace, a moment of euphoria, one that needs to be chased over and over and over again. But nonetheless, as much as we chase it, it's never going to be enough. But one thing is enough. Do you know what that is? That's the grace and the love of God. In that love that He's shown for us, we can find that cure. We can find that way to break our addiction to this world. An eternal answer that knows no restrictions of time like the world has. Next, let us look at the second stage, the larva, or what's called a caterpillar. Once hatched, the caterpillar emerges and immediately it starts eating. First, it eats the leaf that it was laid upon. It even eats the egg that it came out of. In this stage, the main focus, if not the only thing that they do, is just eat, shed, and grow. In this stage, they can grow up to 100 times larger than what they were originally when they first hatched. When we translate this to someone who maybe just became Christian or someone who was on the fence about becoming one, it shows that in order to grow, we must hunger for it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, let's turn over there now. Matthew 5, verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we are wanting to be satisfied, if we hunger for more, let us hunger for righteousness. Because there are a lot of things in this world, as we mentioned before, that we can hunger for, that we can thirst for. Inevitably, there is only one thing that can completely fill us so we hunger no more, and that is God and His Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you wouldn't mind turning there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. This is the verse that we were studying in the young adult or the teen class. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as the one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." We all want and hunger for a sense of belonging. We want to feel accepted. The world can offer plenty of vices and ways in order to get that feeling. But in these verses that we just read, those things that the world has to offer is corruptible. That means they have the opportunity to be corrupted. They have the chance to be messed up. They have the chance to be perverse, to be twisted, to be changed into what man wants. They will not last eternally. They make us feel good for a small amount of time. Even if it can make you feel good for small periods throughout the entirety of your life, however long that is, that time compared to eternity does not even stack up. It can't compare. We get so caught up in the world that we forget who needs to be put first in our lives. God made that sacrifice for us. We make our sacrifice for Him, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Which brings us into the next stage that we are going to talk about, which is the chrysalis, or a pupa. In this stage, this is where the nitty-gritty takes place. In this stage, it becomes time for the caterpillar to make the big change. It prepares itself by spinning a little silk. It attaches itself to a leaf. And from there, some hormones within the body causes the softer exterior of the caterpillar to shed and reveals a hard one. It is here that the caterpillar becomes a pupa or chrysalis and goes through a process that we talked about earlier, metamorphosis. It goes from being an immature form into an adult. This process could take anywhere between 10 to 14 days. And while the chrysalis is on the leaf, it is the inside of the small pod that the change is happening. Did you catch that? The inside is where the change is happening. We can say that we have changed. We can try and fool others that we have changed by acting a specific way when people are looking. Others can believe us. We can deceive others. But there's one person we can't lie to: ourselves and to God. If we want to change, we have to start from within. We have to commit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24, let's turn there. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. It says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt," there's that word again, "according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." If we are wanting to truly change, if we are wanting to truly, honestly, and earnestly become better, the truth is in who? Jesus Christ. Therefore, as it says, we put away the old man. We make that change starting from within ourselves. We put ourselves in that way towards God. We make a 180 going from one direction in the direction towards God. We transform, not literally in the sense, but we transform spiritually. Once we make that decision to put that old man to rest, we become anew. Once we make that decision to follow what God says in his plan of salvation, we rise from that water as a Christian. And some may ask, well, how is that possible? It's got to be something in the water. Is something done to make it special? Well, we can answer that in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verses 6 through 7. Ephesians 1, 6 through 7. And it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Through Jesus' blood that he shed while he was on that cross, suffering, being humiliated, being mocked, he suffered so that there will come a time where those who are obedient will not suffer that same sting of death. Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he resurrected. When we are baptized, we bury that old being, that other person who was covered with sin. That old person is no more. And we too rise. It takes heart. It takes sacrifice. And it takes everything that we have in order to make it through this life. Lastly, the stage of the butterfly. After those 10 or 14 days that the pupa was transforming, it slowly starts to break that exterior shell. Eventually, a butterfly emerges. Not a caterpillar, but a butterfly, a totally new insect. And the same goes for us. Just as we mentioned, we rise to a newness of life. But wait, going back to the example of the butterfly, when it emerges, it does not immediately start to fly around. First, it must prepare itself. When it emerges from its chrysalis, it's covered with a soggy, kind of sticky substance. It's basically the parts that were from the caterpillar, the inner parts, and its wings are saturated in it. Even if it wanted to, it can't take off and fly just yet. Instead, it sits and it waits for its body and its wings to be rid of this substance, which usually takes about a day or two. But then and only then is it ready to actually take off and fly. If you have yet to become a Christian because you think that you will not be deemed worthy, or you feel that you will not live up to others' expectations, the only thing holding you back is yourself. No one else. Just as the butterfly emerges from the shell, we too do not hit the ground running when we are barely born. We grow and we learn. When just becoming a Christian, you will not know everything. You'll know why you followed the plan of salvation. You know its importance. But now is the time where you grow in that knowledge, where you grow in that faith. Because by the time that you know it, you too will be ready to fly. And keeping all this in mind, do you know what the usual life expectancy of a butterfly is? I was extremely shocked whenever I found this out. It's about maybe 2 to 4 weeks. Not very long. That's not long at all. But in actuality, the same goes for us. Although our lives may seem longer than theirs because we measure them in years, we are not promised tomorrow. Therefore, we must make the move now. Follow that plan that God has set before us. Hear the word of God, believe it to be truth, repent, change, confess Jesus before man, and be baptized. And after all that, well, that's entirely up to us how we make it. Lastly, I want us to look at Revelation chapter 2, and this is our conclusion. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, fear none of those things with which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be faithful. That is what God asks of us. It's not difficult to understand. It's not hidden by some cryptic message. It's simple and it's straightforward. Be faithful and be obedient, which means following the gospel calling that he has set before all of men. We must be that change if we are truly wanting that incorruptible crown of life. Because the crown, the reward that those who seek in the world is corruptible, but what God has to offer is incorruptible. No matter how much, no matter how badly people want to taint it, it can't be done. It is eternal. So the choice is yours this evening. If you have yet to become Christian, if you have yet to put on Christ through baptism, make that decision now. Make that decision today. Or even if you're already Christian, and if you feel like you haven't been making the best decisions, if you feel like you need help from your brothers and your sisters, you too have that opportunity this evening as we all stand and as we sing.